This is an ABC podcast.
This is Nijan Footy with Sam Wykes and Tinidar Arona on ABC Radio Australia.
Bull of a Nucker, and welcome to Nijan Footy Fridays. We're doubling up in 2024, whether you like it or not. If this is the first time you're tuning into the show, it's the place where we chat about all the incredible Pacifica athletes in the rugby league and rugby union worlds. My name is Sam Wykes, and alongside me is a bloke who did all right in the tipping last week, Tinara, the tipster, Arona T. You showed me up in the tipping comp, that's for sure, mate. Welcome to the show.
Kia ora, Sammy, and kia ora to you listening. Yes, tipping rugby union. I got it right. And I'm pretty sure that was your sport, or is your sport.
It is.
So we're going to have to rethink our knockout tipping contest.
Is it one and done? Am I already knocked out?
Well, one of your smokies, yeah. Got you knocked out. But we'll worry about that later. Upcoming on the show, we have Totai Kefu and Sala Tongatuki, our weekly reporters who will be covering the rugby league and rugby union. And speaking of rugby league, round one in the NRL in Vegas is only days away, and you'll hear both games on ABC Radio Australia. Jeez, I'm itching for the footy to start.
Well, let's get into it. Let's go.
Hey, everyone. Alex Johnson here from the PNG Kumuls, the South Sydney Rabbitohs. You're here with Nijan Footy.
All right, it's time to check in on the weekly footy, what's happening around the grounds. We'll start with you, T, Rugby League.
Oh, we're going me first.
Yeah, let's start with you because it is a big week. Vegas. The talking point has been built up for a long time now.
Mate, do you read this run sheet or
what? Nah, what are we doing?
We're going politics.
I know that, but...
So I'll start. Papua New Guinea, with the help of the Australia government, is the favourite to become the 18th NRL team from what we're hearing in the news. Peter Valandis, he quotes, "People will be surprised where we are at with the PNG bid. It's 100% not a pie in the sky. We have been doing a lot of hard work. It's 100% reality. Anyone who thinks the PNG team would be a failure doesn't have the facts that we do. We are well down the track." Coming from the big man at the NRL.
Okay, so that is bigger than Vegas. That's why it's at the top of the show. Vegas is later. That's outstanding. Yeah,
please read the run sheet next time, mate.
I was there. Do you know what? It's actually in front of me.
But yeah, PNG. That would be, imagine that, 18th team in the NRL. It's
that will go off. The home games there will go off.
Well, they live and breathe rugby league over there, and imagine they get the opportunity to have their own NRL team. You see the reaction when NRL players do go over to PNG for Pacific Championships or the Prime Minister's 13, the reaction that the fans give them, that would be crazy.
Do you think it would be like when the Fijian Drua play at home, that they'll have whatever they're called, the PNG side, they'll have that jersey on and then they'll probably have a Storm hat on or a Broncos hat? They're going to be supporting both teams?
Yeah, 100%. I mean, you get that reaction now when players are going over there. They doesn't matter who you play for. If you play rugby league, they love you. You are idolised over there. So huge news coming out of the NRL camp. And I think this relates nicely with your experience on Monday. You remind me of the Peaky Blinders. You know when Thomas Shelby gets involved with politics? You are the Sammy Shelby.
Oh, mate. Well, who said sport and politics don't mix? And then even you throw me in the mixer, like you just wouldn't think that would be the case. But yeah, huge news, groundbreaking news.
Give us a rundown. What happened on Monday? Where'd you go?
On Monday, I went down to Canberra. I was invited down to Parliament House. Parliament House, ooh, to be a part of some groundbreaking news that was going to occur on the Tuesday. So flew down there. And the news was Pacific Oz Sports, the Australian government and Rugby Australia announced a $14.2 million partnership over the next 4 years to provide pathways to increase Pacific representation in elite rugby over in the Pacific. And it's going to strengthen the ties between Australia and the Pacific regions, with also strengthening the national teams. Big dogs were down there. There's some massive big dogs down there. We're talking.
Well, that's why you were down there, Sammy.
Hey, well, listen. They listen gathered to the names.
The Avengers.
They did. And Sam Wykes. But, you know, Minister for International Development and the Pacific, Minister Pat Conroy. He's the one, he's the big dog that signs off on everything as well. Former Wallaby David Pocock, who's now Senator Pocock. He's a great mate of mine. We played Aussie Schoolboys, 19th, and Western Force together over in Japan as well. Stephen Declan, not our producer Declan, but Stephen Declan, the assistant director for DFAT. He was there as well. Lotte Tungiri, Morgan Turunuri, Mark Gaznia, Indonesian footy's finest. Sammy Walk's got a seat at the table, got a start.
There it is.
There it is.
So what was your role down there?
I offered some water out to the people. made sure it was all topped up with orange juice or water.
No, I heard we got some love. I heard we got some love down there.
We did. I think the capital of the DFAT people were, you know, loving what we're doing, especially what we did in the Solomon Islands and how we're promoting sport a little bit different.
For that Pacific Sports Show, yes.
That Pacific Sports Show and what we're doing here on Indonesian Footy, just shedding light on our Pacifica talent. And it's been amazing. And this partnership that's happening at the moment, like we look at some of the funding, like $1 million a year will help fund the Fijiana Drua, stay in the competition, Samoan Women's Sevens, you know, rugby academies to set up in country so they can have that development and the skills and the coaches available over there. $600K will be put towards like major events being played over there. So we've already seen Waina Pacifica play in Tonga. We've had the Fijian games. So there's going to be more of that over the next 4 years. But
it's, you know, positive news for positive, rugby union. For
it
one.
Is. There's money coming into the game. But
and
I
the
guess
Pacific.
What we're talking about, you know, with the PNG, what it does for the lives of the people in country. Like,
yeah, pathways, opportunities.
Exactly. So if we look at the Fijiana team and the Fijian Drua, just as an example to put things in context, they've only been in the competition for, this is their third season. And you look at Fijiana, they've gone back-to-back champs. And before that, the Waratahs hadn't lost a game in 3 years, even though the women's game is not where it needs to be here in Australia as well. But when you think of the resources that they have to go back-to-back champions, like that's, you know, when you think about it, that's huge for them. And then for now, more funding to be put into it. They can only keep growing to new levels. And then the Fijian Drua, they go make the quarterfinals in their second year. I played for 14 years and didn't come anywhere near the quarterfinals at all. But they did it in their second year, and which ultimately helped their campaign at the World Cup, where they beat the Wallabies and got to the quarterfinals. But the other big thing as well, Tongan CEO, the interim CEO, Aisea Aholele for Tongan Rugby, he had a moving speech. Like what he said really hit home with a lot of people in that room that probably wouldn't understand how much this is going to impact the people in the countries of like Tonga, Samoa.
Since the Pacific Isles sports program has been established, young girls in Tonga have just realised that they can represent their country. They can make a career of playing rugby, but most importantly, they can pick up a ball and just go and play rugby. Just recently, girls weren't allowed to play rugby because wearing shorts were too revealing. And that went against cultural values. That's what Pacific Isles Sports has done. It's broken down archaic mindsets, barriers, and empowering our girls to know that God has blessed them with a sporting talent, and they should use that talent to help the country, the family, but above all, to help themselves. Last Saturday, a women's team called Panina Pacifica, the two ladies here represented, comprised of girls from Tonga and Samoa rugby. They only assembled 2 weeks ago. They played a pre-season match on Saturday against the Queensland Reds women's team. Now, had it been for the referee's last-minute blunder, nothing against the Reds, but, you know, they would have been beaten, a well-drilled professional outfit in just 2 weeks' preparation. That is the impact of Pacific Isles Sports program, and it brings dreams to reality. It injects optimism in for those girls less fortunate, and the girls with very, very little pathways in life.
So they're changing, you know, cultural behaviours, traditions, And that's what's going to happen for rugby. You know, that's the impact it's going to have on the people over there. So exciting news.
Very exciting. Well, that was awesome news, Sammy. And, you know, Minister Sammy now.
Yes.
Thought you'd done a great job early in the weekend.
If you don't see me on Monday, I'm down in the Parliament House.
Thank you for sharing that. It's some special news. And it's time for us to get to our experts on the show, the one and only Sala Tongatuki.
The Rugby League Preview.
Now comes the way to the right edge. Tongatuki!
With Sala Tongatuki.
Yes, we have our Fetu Samoan and NRLW superstar, premiership winner with the Roosters, Tigers best and fairest, 2023 Daily and Prop of the Year, and the list goes on, Sala Tongatuki. Thank you for joining us, Sala.
Thanks, boys, for having me.
Last week we learned so much about you, and thanks again for sharing a bit about your journey. But I forgot to ask you, who was your footy hero growing up?
Oh, it'd probably be my dad. Obviously, making the decision to migrate to a foreign country and not know, like, have a little English and that, but just the sacrifices to sort of give me the opportunities that I've been blessed to have and continue to have, just better life, style living, all those little things that play a big part in his sacrifice, not just for me, but my siblings, and it set us up for really good life that we're living. So, yeah, my dad, definitely.
Oh, that's beautiful, Sala. Just to add on to your story from last week, my wife listened to the show and she said that Sala sounds like a beast, and she was very inspired by the fact that your story is very similar, because she's Tongan, but, you know, some of those things around hiding the truth away from mum and dad and whatever whatever happens, but breaking that change in the family, she really got a lot out of that. So, yeah, thank you so much for sharing that story.
Saying that your wife's Tongan, everyone would know Samira Taufa, definitely one of the greats in the NRLW, the women's game. She was definitely one of the NRLW role models that I had growing up, like with my game. And because we sort of connected on that level of culture and that, and we understood each other. And it was really hard because there were Islander girls, but not many were making like the top, because there was only four teams. So not much of us were in that mix of space, and being one of the only very few, and we were together, and that it sort of brought us together. And she was just really inspiring. Same thing, like, I guess girls in that, especially in the Tongan culture, I know it's like really, really heavy, and still today it still is a big thing. But yeah, no, thank you. It's still something we don't get asked often anymore, because I feel like we're aging. So I'm just grateful for the opportunity until it gets asked again, what's your story and all that. I'm really grateful that I've been able to put my story on your guys' platform and that. So,
mate, speaking of aging, I know I mentioned
you are great,
it. I know I mentioned to you earlier, but your father, we used to play touch together down at Tregear Hill. And he had the best goose step on the field. He was I remember playing with him, man.
That's crack up.
Awesome. It was cool experience.
I remember coming down to one of those touch games. And mind you guys, like, this Tregear touch thing that was going on, Tregear is just an area in Mandurah, a suburb, and literally, I remember, like, you normally have touch games, like social comms, where it's like 10 against 10 and stuff. Bro, nah, Tricky touch was like 40 against 40.
Yeah,
like,
you never see the ball.
It encourages you to go get the ball.
Yeah, fair enough.
Yeah, literally. And it's funny, like, but just them embracing, just having the numbers there, like, knowing that they weren't going to get the ball. They just knew that there was nice just to sit back and watch, like, a bit of the old school footy games. Because I know my dad would do this one hand thing, like, with the ball, and then, like, when they play the ball, instead of rolling it backwards, just like, they just dump it rolling it forward, like, I don't know. And I'm pretty sure it's meant to be a handover, but everyone just played along, like, shout out to the boys. I know there was other dads out there and other parents that were just playing their old school, their way of playing touch footy back at the homelands, and everyone else that knew how to play touch probably back then, like, they just sort of bounce with it, went along with it. So
that's what it's about, just connecting, getting the community get together. let's move on to the round one NRL games kicking off in Las Vegas this weekend on Sunday. What are your thoughts? Who are you looking out for, What are you looking forward to in these two games in Vegas?
I'm mainly looking forward to the matchup of the fullbacks, Latrell Mitchell and Tom Trbojevic. Well, if I said that right, sorry, Tom.
Tommy Turbo.
Is he going to be watching?
Nah, all good. Yes, he is a big fan of us.
Big listener.
Yeah. Just two big game players. They love the big stage in Las Vegas. So I reckon it'll be a good matchup there. Also, because of Luke Brooks and Eli Cherry Evans matching, I reckon having that experience of DCE, I reckon it'll bring the best out of Luke Brooks. It's going to be interesting for him coming from West Tigers to more experienced team.
Yep.
So it'll be nice to see how that unfolds for him there. But, yeah, I think Manly is going to take the win. I love an upset. And purely just because they've got a really good, like, experience outside of the back line. So, yeah.
Oh, and then gone straight for Manly. I like that. Speaking of Manly versus South, so we've also got for South, you've got Haumole Olakau'atu, who just signed a big deal during the off season, and then he goes up against Tongan teammate Keon Kolomotangi.
That's a big matchup.
Who do you think gets over in that matchup?
Oh, honestly, like, it's hard, eh? And it's funny, like, they're both Tongans, like, they're just beasts on a field. I don't know if it's just a Tongan thing, sorry guys, but I'm probably gonna, Keon's been really consistent, but Mole's also, sorry, I know Haumole on a personal level, so I've seen him, like, progress just drastically in his last couple of career games, and he's shown to just be that player that I reckon he'll match Keon really well.
Yep.
Keon's been that, also, like, that back row that's just normally you give it to your playmate, like your spine, to do all that big game playmaking stuff, but he's someone that's so confident in doing what he does. So, I'd like to see how them two go head-to-head. I hope it's them two at it with each other. I wasn't sure because of how the team listing stuff, but I reckon Keon will be hard to handle, but also Mole will also be hard to handle, especially at the line. He's got a white – they've both got that white fever line.
Yeah.
So I reckon they'll both
– love a try.
Just on that, close to the line, so when you mentioned Luke Brooks, he's a rugby union guy trying to understand it. Does guys like Olakau'atu, do they defend outside, like, say, Brooks or Daly Cherry Evans on the line? Is that how it works? Like,
they're normally on the inside of the halves now. So they're technically
The halves.
But it's hard defending on an edge. Like, it's decision making there. Like, because you got your fullback, and if your other half, your playmaker, overlaps in that, then that's where, like, the line's got to obviously adjust and just, like, work hard to get numbers to that side that they're trying to overlap on.
So do those halfbacks feel really safe knowing that they've got those two big units on their inside?
They should be feeling safe, yeah, definitely.
A lot of the halves they call their back rowers their inside shoulders because they cover a lot of their tackles. Yeah.
It'll, makes sense. Yeah.
Moving on to the Roosters versus Broncos, what stands out for you in this game?
I think everyone knows what I'm going to say is Spencer Linnell and Payne Haas. Two big bodies, again, going at it. And they're both Polynesian players. Payne Haas, I reckon, is looking to make a statement after losing a grand final last year to the Penny Panthers, which Spencer was a part of. And I'm interested to see how Spencer goes in a tricolours. I've seen Spencer actually work a lot in the off season. Remember, like with Penrith, like Spencer was just that bench player that'd come off and be an impact player, and he'd only get short stints of minutes. This will be a different taste of him with playing minutes, being that starting prop. He would definitely get a second stint, a chance to come back on, and see how that goes for him. So I know he's been working a lot on his endurance. Building that base of cardiovascular. So, sorry, all these smart words don't even know that.
No, you're good.
You're on a roll.
It's all about educating. Yeah, it's all about educating.
Yeah, 100%. No, but yeah, I think definitely them two is going to be the biggest one. I've got a player though I've to look out for with the Broncos is the he's coming off the bench is Xavier Willison.
Yes, big Xavier.
I didn't even know he made his debut late 2021. So I remember watching him in a Maldives All-Star game this year, and I was like, holy, like, this guy is pretty, like, he got mad debut try under the sticks. And I'm like, I guess he felt promising. Just, and I was just wondering, like, does any club have this guy when I was watching the All-Stars game? And then when I seen that he was in the trial thing, I was like, oh, my gosh, like, how cool is this? Like, but he was a really standout. It was a promising middle. And mind you, 2021 was like two, three 3 years ago-ish. So, and for the club to keep him on, not having played much footy, that says a lot about him as a player and character. So I reckon he's definitely a player to look out for. He'll bring good impact and energy. But I'm sorry, I'm going to go with the Roosters also for this one.
Of course, of course.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. I still have a place in my heart for the Roosters being there myself. But, yeah, I reckon I've got the fold pack to take on Broncos. I know Broncos had the fold pack last season and no doubt they've got them this year to do the job again. But, yeah, I love an upset and a challenge. So, and Roosters are there for it.
With the field being shorter, like with the width and length of it, do you feel like that forward battle is going to be crucial to be able to that's where it's going to be won or lost for both teams?
Yeah, I don't know how they would like take that on, to be honest. I'm pretty sure they've been training on those fields, given that they were up there for a week prior to playing this weekend. So yeah, I don't know, like it definitely will be a challenge. So yeah, see, well, you mentioned right.
You mentioned their four pack. You mentioned Spencer Leniu. We've got Terrell May coming off the bench, but they're starting back rower Siwa Wong and Sitili Tuponiua. Mate, those two.
You beat me to it.
Yeah. What are your thoughts on that pack?
Oh man, honestly, I'm a big fan of them too. Especially Siwa Wong. He's proven himself to start in back row, like, that's massive. And he's always been a big name in a New South Wales Cup competition. Having the fact that Nathan Butcher and Egan Butcher's, the brothers were always being Bruce's second rows for the last couple of, well, I'd say last season, having Sewer sort of prove himself to be there for this opening round, it says a lot. Like for him, he's definitely worked hard, and he was definitely someone I always found like he was really good watching. I actually liked watching his style of playing. He's just aggressive, hey, and even Satili, like, he brings that too. He's just that player that, like, yeah, he's like thin and like just tall and that, but like, I don't know, he hits his lines really well, and he's just got that fend, like he's got that spin and fend off. So be nice to see them two match and do their jobs for the club.
Yeah, Siwa Wong, he's only like 21, 20. He's already represented Pati Fiji and Mate Matonga. So he's already played for both countries, and I know he's got a couple of other cultures within him, so he's actually one superstar to look out for. But moving on from the NRL, we saw some news around the New South Wales Women's State of Origin and the big camp that you girls have been involved in. Can you tell us a bit about the camp?
Yeah, it was nice, like, seeing all the everyone's faces again, but even more just the young girls that were coming through the pathways and that. So, it was, I don't know how they say it, like, everyone was nervous and tense, like, coming into camp. But it was just more of an intro night and some testings and that. So the girls did a 1.2, and then we did some strength testing with the science people. It just gives the high performance staff an indication of where we're at, and then they can build our programs based off those results, like any other camp. But yeah, it was nice. Like, we even went through, I think there's about 35 or 40 of us, and only 18 will get taken. I think 20, but 18 will obviously take the field for game one. Some girls couldn't make it, but majority of us were there, and it was just a cruisy first night for us, but it will ramp up and get it more intense when we officially come back together in 2 weeks' time. So that's when the program will officially start. But yeah, 2 days ago, we actually came together for an intro night. It's not really an Origin camp, so it's more of a pathways program. I don't know why. Queensland's got theirs going on too. So yeah, it's hard for us. I think the reason why the 6 weeks program, why they brought that in, was because we've got no other way of prepping for the Origin. Our season's been sort of put on hold a bit, or not hold, but it's been changed. So we used to have Harvey Norman to help prep us for those big games, Origin. But yeah, no, we, New South Wales Rugby League, wanted to align it with our NRW season. So then girls that don't get picked for NRW drop down. Same as how the boys are already doing it, New South Wales Cup. So if you're not making A grade, you're going down a reserve grade and sort of playing that similar intense of footy, just that way when they get pulled up, an opportunity comes up, they're not sort of behind with match fitness and all that kind of stuff. So, yeah, that's, see how it goes. It's 6 weeks. It's pretty good, but
well, not on the lungs. I was going to say, you don't sound a fan of the strength and conditioning coaches. So you mentioned the other girls did the 1.2. You mentioned the other girls did the 1.2, the Bronco. Does,
yeah.
What about yourself? Coming back from injury, did you have to sit on the Watt bike or do anything, any other testing while you're injured?
I did the strength testing with the girls, just couldn't do the jump. I don't know which one, some height, jump for height thing. I just couldn't do that one, obviously, with my injury. But, we jumped on a bike. I didn't even know there was such a thing as bike testing. I'm just thinking, oh, yeah, it'll be so, like, should be cruising.
Just a cruisy ride on the bike.
No, it wasn't cruisy. It was, yeah, it was, I know, literally, like, the S&C was like, oh, his name's Tommy. And Tommy was like, I'll give you 1 minute just to walk around here and then we'll go downstairs. If you've been at the New South Wales Centre of Excellence, the cardio machines are upstairs. So when we went up, we were like, yeah, cool. We didn't think of the aftermath, and neither did Tommy. It's Tommy's first time in the Origin space and with the women's as well. And he just didn't think, like, he forgot that the impact that 3 minute testing does to you. And so I had to slide down the stairs. I actually couldn't walk down the stairs.
Some of those bike sessions are brutal.
They are brutal. I honestly wish I would have rather do the 1.2 than do the 3 minute bike. Like, no joke.
That's the worst part. Worst part about being injured. Yeah. Well, thanks, Sulla.
Yeah.
We'll thank you for your update on this week's coming round one of the NRL. And we will catch you next week on Nijan Footy.
Thanks, guys.
Nijan Footy.
Recipe of the week.
T, last week you brought in the watermelon orto, which was outstanding. That little secret ingredient of honey.
Yes.
I mentioned that
natural
to...
Natural sweetener.
Yeah, the natural sweetener. I mentioned that to my family members and they were just off it straight away. So I was like, no, I'm telling you, it's a game changer. It's something different. Instead of
just the normal sugar.
Yeah, normal sugar. And so when I asked my wife for a recipe for the apple one, the apple version of orte, she goes, I'm not putting honey in there. The sugar's staying in. So I was like, okay, well, we'll leave it in there.
About healthy options, you know.
Mate, you don't need to preach to me, brother. I'm already converted. You got me. That was outstanding. So
we're going apple orte, this one?
Yeah, apple orte. And for our listeners, obviously, we know that food's a big part of
our culture,
Pacific culture, you know, it's family, faith, footy, and food. The four refs, it's crucial. So it's pretty simple recipe. This one, instead of watermelon, we have apple. Okay, so the ingredients, we got apple, pineapple, coconut shredded. So actually, but the real coconut, not from the bag
not
or anything.
From the
so you got a valuet, as they say, so shred it on that grater. What's that? What do you call it in Cook Islands? You know, when you sit on top of...
Yeah, the it's like a... Oh, how do you explain it? It's like a steel plate bar thing with the spikes on the end.
Spikes on the ends, and then you grate it by hand.
The half the coconut,
that's
and you grate it, yep.
So you do that. You have a bit of water, ice, bit of milk, and hopefully only 1 tablespoon of sugar, not 400 of
them. Did you say water, ice, milk?
Yeah, just a little bit. So it's just it will just all melt in there nicely.
Also, no cream, no coconut.
No, she said to use the milk.
Oh, yeah.
Some people don't even use any dairy to go dairy free.
Yeah, I don't like that one.
But get the coconut milk, and that's why you do it, so you can squeeze it all in there. You know, when you...
Oh, yeah, so it's the coconut... So it is coconut cream. When you grate it, and then you
put it in the...
you squeeze the coconut cream out, and then you put the grater, the coconut grate in.
So that's the ingredients for it. And the secret is as well, is when you use a cheese grater to grate the pineapple, you grate the apple, but you can't use the smaller circles. You got to use the one with the bigger circle, so it's not like a shredded finely.
Ah, yeah, so you want a bit of mush.
Yeah, a bit of mush, a little bit of mush. So you get there and you grate it all in there and you just mix it all together.
How many apples to pineapple ratio?
It's a good question. Depending on the price of apples, and depending if you want to go Granny Smith apples, Mount Fuji apples, what are the other, Royal Gala.
Are we going red or green?
So people go the green, or you could do a bit of both. So it is up to the individual and how they do that. But I've just seen, I think the green apples are cheaper for the for our family members, so they just go a lot of it, because you need a lot of apples.
Yeah.
You actually need a lot. And so I thought the watermelon one would have been more expensive because it's bigger, but our good friend Ken Pizzi Ma'afu, who does a lot of orte, he goes, the hardest thing about the apple orte, the prep that goes into it, it's a lot more because you just need a lot more apples to fill up a big tub. And so that's why he gets his kids to make sure they grate it. He doesn't do it. He just gets to taste it. So that's that one. And I'm sorry I didn't get to bring it in. I just ran out of time. Good, I was just busy with Parliament stuff, you know, politics.
Hanging out with the government.
Yeah, just stuff like that. So apologies, but I'll bring it in for you next time for you to try.
Any stories with the apple, though, when it comes to your childhood or, you know, recently?
Well, usually you would only get one option. You would only get one option. It's either... watermelon, that's what's happening at the functions, or if it's, and it was usually just watermelon, but now there's, you get the option of either watermelon or apple. And I just feel like, you know, when I walk up to the table and I've got options at a Tongan function, I'm just over the moon. And
what do you prefer?
I always go apple.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I just really, I've just got a thing for the apple, because it's just that, I don't know, it's just more of a crunch to it as well. So it feels like it's food in a glass compared to the watermelon, maybe because we always had the watermelon one.
Yeah.
But I just love the fact now that we've got more than one option at the function. So there you have it, T.
All right, well done, Sammy.
Nesian Footy with Sam and T.
The Rugby Union Preview.
Kefu. Totai Kefu.
With Totai Kefu.
Yes, welcome an icon of Australian and Pacifica Rugby Union. The man, Totai Kefu, is a Tongan Australian 60-cap wallaby, over 100 games for the Queensland Reds. And most recently, he was the Ikaletahi Tongan men's coach for the last 7 years. Hey, great start last week, Kef, and it's good to have you back on.
Hey, that's a great intro, Sam.
Yeah, no marbles this week in the mouth.
Hey, mate, we've seen after last week, thank you again for sharing last Monday. Sorry, was it Monday? Friday. Last Friday. And only a couple of days later, we see a photo of you with one of our Nesian Footy Impact players, Sefa Paulo, in a hotel room. What the hell happened there?
I actually flew to New Zealand for a... They've got that match fit program that's just about to air, and they were shooting the last show, and the last show, I probably shouldn't say, but the last show involves the match fit boys playing against a group of Australian rugby league and rugby union legends. Let's just say
that's cool.
Well, actually, it's not the first time we've broke news early on our show, Kef. I'll go back to the World Cup last year when my cousin Patrick Pellegrini got the call up. I thought it was already announced. And, you're not the coach now, so it doesn't matter. But I'll let you know we announced it on radio beforehand, because he told our family chat. I was like, I've got some breaking news. So, mate, don't worry, break. This is where you hear things first. But last week, Super Rugby round. Kicked off. What did you make of just the games in general?
Yeah, look, I think to be honest, you know, you look at the Australian teams and the New Zealand teams, and I think, I don't know whether it's the people in the crowd or, but the New Zealand teams just seem to be playing with a lot more speed and a lot more intensity I don't know if you guys picked that up, and the Australian teams just seeing that yard behind. I don't know whether it's there's no people in the crowd in Australia, so there's not much noise. But look, I think again, if we compare ourselves to the New Zealand teams, they seem just a couple of steps ahead of us, don't they?
Yeah, well, speaking of the crowds, this coming week we've got, is it Magic Weekend, Super Round in Melbourne.
Yep.
What are your thoughts on the crowd down in Melbourne and having that round in Australia?
Especially with what's happening with the Melbourne Rebels at the moment. Like, yeah, what do you make of, you know, having that game down there and what the fans will do?
Yeah, well, I think having Magic Round down there, hopefully it's a boost to Melbourne rugby and to its supporters. But I don't know if you remember we did this last year, and one of the biggest issues or the feedback from Magic Round from last year was that no one turned up. I just hope, fingers crossed, that people do turn up and support not only Melbourne rugby, but Australian rugby in general and Super Rugby in general. There's going to be some great teams there. You know, I'm really looking forward to Auckland. I think were outstanding. Chiefs look really, really strong. Hurricanes, again, the same teams as usual. You know, I think the two match of the rounds might be the two games on Sunday, which is the Reds are playing the Hurricanes. And the Brumbies playing the Chiefs, I think it is, or is it the
yep.
Blues?
Yeah, that's it. Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. So I think those two games would be the two biggest games of the weekend.
Yeah, you mentioned the Reds, and you tipped them last week, and you said hopefully they do pretty well, and they do look sharp. Their preseason form and the way they attacked that game last week, especially guys like Hunter Paisami in the midfield, even Jordy Pataia at the back. What did you make of their performance, and was there anyone else that stood out for you, like of our Pacifica talent in that game?
Look, yeah, Jordy Pataia, I think he's only going to get better. Just having him on the field's a blessing. He's always injured, that kid. But he looks strong. They're going to have a really tough game against the Hurricanes this week. Look, I thought the Waratahs weren't at their best. I'm a big fan of that Lungi Gleeson.
Yeah, Fiji number eight, yep.
Oh, some of that explosive power, unbelievable. He's quickness off the mark he's going to be a superstar, I think, that kid. So I'm looking forward to him playing throughout this season. Look, the two Pacific teams playing on the Saturday, Moana and Fiji and Drua, that's going to be really exciting. I think they were pretty disappointing, I think, last week. You know, Fiji and Drua, they were in it. Moana Pacifica were in it to the last 20 minutes. Highland has put two tries on late. And Fiji and Drua, I think they should be pretty disappointed. Just too many errors and simple mistakes.
What are your predictions on that game?
Look, I think I remember the game from last year, and Fiji and Drua just won by a couple of points. I think it's going to be a close one again. There's some key matchups there. I think I'm hoping Moana will win, but there's some key matchups. I think the number eights, Lotu and Nisi was unbelievable. He had a good old battle with Renton last week, but he gave as good as he got. I think there's going to be the two hookers, Ikani Vader and Malolo. I thought Malolo was unbelievable last week for Moana. So I think there are two matchups there, but I'm hoping I'm going to support my Samoan and Tongan brothers on that game.
Yeah, that's got to be a big one that down there, all the attacking flair. What did you make of the Bas Julian Savea in at 12 in his unfamiliar position?
I thought it was great. I thought, he had some carries through the middle there. He made two big breaks where he just ran over two or three people. I think that might be his game now. I can't wait till he scores a try, because then he becomes the highest try scorer of Super Rugby history. So I'm just waiting for that to happen.
You know, it's funny about his try scoring abilities there. They were two teams that feature heavy in those highlights are the Western Force and the Sunwolves. both games I've played in a lot of.
He's good, defensive teams.
Oh, mate, we're playing touch footy at, in those games. But you also, so again, Mick Byrne, coaching the Drua. What do you think as a coach? You know, he was looking for that away win and it didn't happen for him. Do you think as a coach when you're preparing and you have a focus point the whole time and saying we must get these away wins, we must get this away wins, do you feel like it could be, you know, detrimental because there's too much expectation rather than just playing footy? Or do you think they prepared okay and they just weren't good enough on the day?
Yeah, look, I think as a coach with the away games, You should target some of them. I don't think you can win all of them, but if you target 50% of them and come away with 50% of them, I think that's a great goal, and then plan to win a lot of your home games. Look, Fiji and Drua, you know, I love their Pacific style and their flair, but at one stage they ran it out of their 22. They held the ball on for like 8 to 10 phases and it got to halfway. Now, if I was a forward playing in that team, I'd be absolutely buggered. You know, I think sometimes they've just got to take the percentage play and maybe kick, maybe keep the ball in. You know, defending sometimes is a lot easier than attacking. It just, you know, I think with the Polynesian teams, the flair and the offloading is great and holding on to possession is good, but I think you just got to be smart about the way you play and save some energy for the right parts of the field. And I think playing in the right parts of the field is really important these days. Like territory means a lot.
That's the first time I've heard someone say you'd save energy defending than holding the ball. It's a different game in rugby league. You obviously want to hold the ball and not give the ball away, but it's obviously different in rugby union.
Yeah, to Kev's point, like that first 5 minutes of the draw, they went 25 phases and then dropped the ball just on the line. So like that zaps it out of you as a forward because you're getting off the out of a ruck, cleaning out another carry, clean out again, and it takes away. So as Kev said, like some of the best teams in the world, even the Kiwis, like they have the biggest kicking stats in the game, but what they do well is they get the ball back within those three phases. So they've just marched up the field. Turnover attack, counter attack, they really light it up. And speaking of the counter attack, the new rules that came in for rugby union around kick chase and the onside, where previously if you caught the ball, ran 5 metres, even if you're in front of the kicker, you're onside, or if the ball got passed, you're onside. That's not the case anymore. You have to be put onside by an onside player. We saw some line breaks. Do you reckon that's changed the game a little bit, like around, you know, running the ball back on kick counter?
Yeah, I'm still a little bit unfamiliar with those rules, but there was a huge number of – I've got some of the metrics and a huge number of line breaks and tries scored from kick returns and unstructured play. And if you look at the Kiwis, they're best in the world at that. And if you were playing a Kiwi side, so if I was looking – if I was one of the Australian coaches, you'd try and limit that as much as possible. Try and limit that unstructured play and those kick returns. If you go to kick it out, you know. Yeah. Stop the play, have a rest, and make him attack from set piece rather than unstructured possession.
Yeah, perfect. Moving over to Samoa, you mentioned them. Silala Mapusua, you know, the head coaching role has come up and they've asked him to reapply for it. He's unsure how he feels about that. I know you would have had close ties with Mapusua. You know, do you feel like he deserves another go at it, like another reign leading into the World Cup?
I was surprised when I first saw that, and I actually text Mup straight away. I coach Mups in Japan, and I've got a great relationship with Mups. I was surprised, and that's why I text him, and he pretty much said he has to reapply for his own job. I thought it was a bit harsh. I think he's done an unbelievable job with the Samoan team. And I think just if you gave him the job and just let him and extend his career, it just means you're giving him a massive vote of confidence. And that makes him feel really confident in his job, in his own skin, moving forward.
Yeah, I'm with you. I thought that was a massive surprise. And then another surprise, actually, I didn't realise, is Pernina Pacifica, the women's team. Your good mate Wisey, I didn't realise he was part of it. Like, he was a head coach there, along with Eti Aholele as well, with his brother Isaiah being the CEO or interim CEO for Tongan Rugby. So, what do you make of Wisey and him being the coach of that Pernina Pacifica team?
Look, great for them. Well, I know Wisey well. He's a bloody good coach, what he does really well, his biggest value is obviously not the technical tactical part, but bloody good bloke, really connects well with his team, builds really, really good relationships. He gets around a bit, old Wise. He's like Johnny Cash. He's been at nearly every club, every team. I think that might be like me soon, coaching everyone, but they're lucky to have him. I speak really highly of Wisey.
Yeah, nice. He is the man. He's obviously coached at Samoa as well, and just know, as you said, he knows how to build relationships and rapport with players. And I guess on the Wallabies, did you manage to catch the Wallabies doco with Eddie?
I'm going through it. I've only watched probably the first 5-10 minutes of it. I just get flashbacks, mate. When I was coached by old Eddie Jones, he's a bit different now. He's much more. Let me say, what, conservative or...
Is that conservative? Is this toned down from your day?
He's toned down a fair bit from my day.
Wow.
I could tell you some stories, mate, but I don't think this is the right place. But,
have you got a G-rated version for us?
I think a few people after he coached in my era, I don't think they played rugby again after that.
Oh, yeah, mate, he's brutal. Well, mates, on that note, we really appreciate your time. Love having you on every single week moving forward, and we look forward to chatting to you again next week.
Yeah, pleasure, guys. Good to see you blokes again, and look forward to next week.
Thanks, bro. Appreciate
Cheers,
it.
Brother. Thank you.
This is Nation Footy.
Shh! Quiet, boys and girls. It's Professor Paulo.
I'm going to laugh every time I hear that. Good old Seth.
All right, what's he got for us?
So we didn't get last week's question.
Oh, so we're nil all. In all of our games, the zero pops up so much in all of our games. So, but anyway.
Speaking of your tipping.
Yes, exactly.
And this week, we are going to have a crack at Professor Paulo's question.
All right, let's
hear. Wait, what are we playing for?
Lunch, I think.
Lunch. All right, lunch. All right. Let's go.
As the excitement builds towards the NRL season starting in Vegas, how many Nation players will take the field across the two games this weekend?
Oh,
that's a good question. Are we going to go exact number or let's go closest to?
We'll go closest to. I would be surprised if he even knew Professor Paulo.
He just threw it out there, didn't he? Okay.
I'll give you 30 seconds.
Well, if the playing population is over 15%, 17 on the field.
Ooh. Okay. Where's my notes here?
I am going to go, I'm going to go 17. What are you doing over there, T?
I'm counting.
What are you counting? Have you got the team list in front of you?
I'm going to go, oh, that's close, 17, very close. I was going to go, it's either I go 18 or 16. But yeah, I reckon you might be on the money, eh?
Are we going to go up? I'd go up, actually.
Nah, I'm thinking 16.
Okay, let's see how we go.
The answer to that question between the Seagulls and the Rabbitohs from 1 to 17 is 11 players. Between the Roosters and Broncos is 14. So the total amount of Nation players this weekend is 25 players.
Did he say 14?
14.
Oh, between in the game.
Yeah, wow. So 25.
25. Damn, I should have went one above.
I told you to go one above. I planted that seed in your head, eh?
Yeah.
Yes.
That's good. 1-0.
Yes, 1-0.
I thought you were very close. But 25 players across both games.
That's in the impressive. Upcoming
round one. That's 25 out of 68.
Okay. 68.
25.
So out of the 68 players, there's 25.
Yeah, I should have. Wow. I should have went up. Why did I go 16? Oh, I feel
That's the RLPA boss right there who does.
No, it's because I've done my notes here and I've only had these players and I was like, oh, okay.
You know where your notes got you for your exams and stuff at school.
You know what? I'm going to go fact check that.
Let it go, mate. You're lost.
No, because Seth doesn't know.
It's the professor. Are you gonna,
he is not the professor.
He's not the professor this week when you get it wrong, but last week, oh, how good's the professor?
All right, 1-0, 1-0. Let's get Move on.
Let's get it.
Knockout tipping time.
Here's one for you, T. Knockout tipping time. Obviously,
you're already knocked out. So we've had to change the format where we'll still pick a team. You can't pick the team twice or until you've picked all the other teams. But if you do, if your team does lose, we'll just tally up the scores.
I can't choose the Rebels ever again?
You've picked all the other.
See, it's smart. That's why I did that, because I knew if I did that, it would change the goalpost. The Rebels are gone, so...
I did notice you bought me a coffee this morning, so we said...
Always
because of your mistake there, mate.
Let's get into it. So Union first?
We'll go Union first.
All right.
Well, I've seen... What round is it this week?
It's Super Round this week down in Melbourne. So the same as Magic Round in League, but it's called Super Round.
Well, you're spoken...
Minus a few thousand people.
On Monday, you spoke highly about the bus and the Moana.
Yep.
And I seen they had a close game to my favourites, the Highlanders. They are playing the draw this weekend, and the draw struggle away from home. They're still trying to find their feet. So because the game is played down in Melbourne, I'm going with Moana Pacifica.
Hey, here's a fun fact for you. The time that they won away last year was against Moana Pacifica.
Yeah, but they didn't have the bus and they didn't have Tana.
That's very true, but okay, well, I'm a fan favourite in Fiji. They love me over there. I don't know why, and a lot of people think I'm Fijian because they're doing the commentary for the Fijian draw. I'm going to go with the Bulla Boys.
Oh, so someone's getting another point.
So, hey, that's a big game for our Pacifica talent. The Battle of the Pacific down in Super Round. Ooh,
it might be the first rugby union game I watch.
Make sure you watch that one. There will be some big hits. There will be some length of the field tries. There will be a lot of flair.
Well, what day is it? Saturday?
Saturday game. Sweet.
At 5 p.m. on Saturday. So
yep.
I might have some time to watch them.
might have some time.
Let's go over to League.
Yep.
Who's your? I picked first union, you picked League.
Okay, I am going to go.
There's only four teams.
Yeah, I know. Are we choosing one team from each?
One team.
I'm going to say Manly get up.
You got Manly. I was about to go South. Oh, so
let's go, team.
I should go Roosters, but I want to save them. And they are playing last year's grand finalists. But I was thinking Souths or Manly. I'm going to go South. So we're going head to head on both games. Let's go.
Oh, I can't wait to hear the result of this and come back and have a bit of a chat about our predictions. But that's our time up. Nisha Footy Fridays, thanks for joining us. And thanks, of course, to Sala and Tōtai Kefu for joining us each week. Remember, you can listen back to our Monday and Friday shows. Just search for Nisha Footy wherever you get your podcast. Malo apito.
Viva Las Vegas! This show was produced on the lands of the Gadigal people of the Eora Nation.